Yeah. Wake up.
I'm here. I was just checking something out. So sorry about that. Thought I was dozing?
You were dozing?
No, you thought I was dozing.
Yeah, I thought you conked out.
Knocked right off. No, I was just checking something. Something is looking weird on the website.
Oh, well, that's classic.
Yep, but we'll fix it. Yep, we'll fix it. All right, we can start a little bit early if you choose to do so, sir.
Sure, let's go.
Okay, here we go. Just 1 second. I gotta fix something. Fix this here. This here. That there. And this. Okay. Now I'm ready.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 23rd of June, 2026.
Yep, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the last full week of trading for the markets. We had a short week last week due to Juneteenth.
Yeah.
Which was well celebrated and a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah? What fun did you have?
Oh, I don't know. We spent the day working, actually. We actually didn't take any time off. So, there you go. Back. I was away for a little while in the Bahamas. So I spent a little time catching up, and it's amazing when you go away for a few days how much piles.
Yeah, you can't quit.
Can't quit. Can't stop. Everything keeps moving. All right,
let's put off the inevitable,
which is
more work.
Oh yeah. So what's the point of even taking off then?
Yeah, that's what I've always said. Yeah,
just keep going. Just keep working. Nothing good out there anyway. Well, we're going to announce something good. The newest, closest to the pin, as you had recommended, for SpaceX. That's going to be on. That should be right now. That's live, actually, right now, over on dhunplugged.com. So everybody can line up their guesses. It's been a pretty interesting week when it comes to SpaceX. Clipped under 147 yesterday. No, today, this morning. This morning, it was under 147.
Yeah.
So most of the people that actually came out with the post-IPO buys, because don't forget it was 135 if you got the IPO.
Right.
But it came onto the market. I think for a moment it was in the high 160s, 150s.
Yeah, 150s.
But most people probably got in around 162. So most of those people are underwater right now.
Yeah, well, they're dumb.
Well, I don't know about that. One of the things that's happening is that once the company became public, Elon Musk went on a bit of a buying spree, bought a $6 billion company for some new AI capabilities and issued, I think, $20 billion bond offering. The reason he did that was, of course, because he didn't want to dilute the shares any further and he wanted more money.
Right.
And the reason
he also did another thing, a curious thing. He cashed out some options over at Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
To the tune of $7.5 billion. Not, if people can cash out a few options. Yeah, I'm gonna cover some options here that I bought.
Take a little profit. Take a little something off the table.
Yeah. $7.5 billion.
He's going all in. Because, by the way, just to be clear,
what is he gonna do? What do you do? He's got to go put that in the money market.
Yeah. What? Because $1 trillion is just, God darn it, not enough money. You got to get trillion.
Go for two.
Someone said something very interesting today, that he sees these as points in a game, like points in a video game, tokens that you win. It's not real money. So what's the point? Just keep on trying to stack it, figuring that no matter what he does, he can't go bankrupt.
No.
He'd be hard. He can't. I mean, if he's down to his last 100 million, he may have to change his lifestyle a little bit.
I don't think he could make himself get down to 100 million if he tried.
Unless he did some really screwy investing. You can't spend it all. That's not
you can buy the moon.
Didn't he do that already? Thought he bought, no, he bought Mars. He bought Mars. He's got a lot of space available for Mars if you want to spend your time doing that. So we got some more things to talk about that. Also, we're going to talk about the Mahjong craze. Mahjong. It's all I hear in my house is Mahjong. Going to go play Mahjong, or as they say in New York.
It's not a craze out here, I'll tell you that.
It's not?
No.
So it's only down in South Florida?
Well, I think it's here and there. I've noticed it cropping up in social media, but there's no evidence that it's around here in the Silicon Valley area, Bay Area, that I can tell.
Well, maybe it's an East Coast phenomenon. They call it up north in New York, Mahjong.
Isn't it like a Jewish game?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
You're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, okay, because the Jewish people like Chinese food and they like a Chinese game. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess. Oh, yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying.
I guess you're probably right. That and canasta.
Yeah, canasta, that's the word I was looking
canasta.
For.
Canasta.
And pinochle.
Pinochle, yeah. Pinochle is a guy's game from the old school. That's like a game from the old country. Where canasta, which canasta is kind of fun. Canasta I play.
I've never played either canasta or pinochle. I wouldn't have a clue.
Pinochle I've played. Yeah, pinochle, I think it's, is it four decks
bridge
or two
is
decks?
The, is, yeah.
Bridge, yeah. Well, bridge. But isn't it all the non-Jews that play bridge?
Yes, non-Jews that play bridge.
I'm using your logic on something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just non-Jews that play bridge.
And the Gentiles.
Jews play pinochle.
Yeah, pinochle and canasta.
Canasta.
Got to say it with that kind of accent. Like to say goodbye. Another sad week. Last week we dedicated the show. Don't forget to my friend Stuart. This week we'll dedicate it to a fine man named Alan Greenspan. Which, by the way, you and I talked about. We brought his name up. We just conjured his name last week.
We did.
We talked about that. We asked, "How old is this guy? Is he alive?"
He died at 100.
Died at 100. I think he was waiting for us to give him recognition on the show.
I finally got recognized on the no agenda show, on the DH Unplugged show. I'm getting my shows mixed up.
Yeah.
On Disciplined Investor.
Yeah, whatever you're doing.
Let's plug them all.
Yeah.
And so he heard it and boom, that was it.
Life is now, I've reached that pinnacle of a level
recognition.
That, yeah, just, you know, what, there's nothing else to live for. That's it. It's gone. But he was a great guy. I mean, I really enjoyed his, a lot of things. I think that he was a brilliant man, reshaped the Fed in an incredible way over the years, some good, some bad. Did a good job for the most part, wrote some brilliant books, Irrational Exuberance, one of them. No, he didn't write that. That was Schiller. But it was about Irrational Exuberance. Had a fascinating way, a cadence and a vocabulary. He was like a walking thesaurus.
Yeah, he liked to use big words.
Big words that you had no idea what he was talking about. And I literally had to read it would be great to have AI back then. Just to take the whole transcript of one of the Fed meetings and put it into that and say, okay, what is this guy saying in plain English?
Yeah.
You had to literally go and decipher. It was like hieroglyphics.
Yeah, he sort of started that trend.
That was great. None of the Fed chairs since, though, have been as exquisite with their vocabulary and the use of the language.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it. We had peak chairman with Janet Yellen. I think peak chairman. That was the end. There was never going to be a good chairman again.
Possibly.
Like oil.
Yeah. We had an economic collapse that was imminent, supposedly, and that was. The reason for a major event that happened last week, we'll get to that. I don't know if you've seen RAM prices, random access memory prices for computers. Holy, I got a story for you, my friend.
They're 4, 5, 6x over the top.
Oh, unbelievable. I have a chart that will show you something that is fascinating. The only play has been the chips until today, of course. Chips sold off like crazy. Overnight already, they're starting to pick back up already. You know how the market going into correction is 10% and a bear market is 20%. And you know how it usually takes a while for a market to go into correction? It takes days, weeks.
Well, yeah, until recently.
Until recently, the KOSPI, the Korean market, was in correction overnight. 10.5% down.
Yeah, I saw that today.
They'll probably pick that up. You know, you can't have 2 days down. There's no such thing as 2 days down for markets. It's one day, big day down, and then they pop it. Already I saw that futures were up about 100, not a big deal, about 100 and change on the NASDAQ overnight. Already I saw the RAM pricing companies, you know, the Microns, the Intels, the AMDs, all those companies were popping back after huge losses today. One of the ETFs that track the memory companies was down 8% today.
Huh.
And we saw SMH down about 6%. SpaceX coming back down to Earth. We talk about that. It's kind of the sucking sound that we talked about, that they're going to just take all the air out of the room. And then potentially we're going to see this sell-off ensue, which we thought would be the case. And then probably the next step is going to be another chug higher, because all of these index funds need to pick them up over time. And that's kind of what's going on. Market's getting weird. 3% down for the NASDAQ today. And then at the close of business today, just to save the markets maybe, Alphabet, Google, is going to be replacing Verizon in the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Yeah, I saw that.
Sheesh. Dow Jones Industrial Average. Now, these are high-priced shares. They're like $3.50 per share. If you remember, the Apple and these companies had to do reverse splits and all sorts of things, or splits and all this, to try to get their shares under like $100. Because if Dow Jones Industrial Average is a price weighted mechanism, and therefore every movement of the share price moves the Dow Jones. Versus, the movement of NVIDIA, for example, in the S&P 500 moves it, but there's a different calculation. One is market weighted. How much is it in size? And that determines the actual weight in the index. Whereas in the Dow Jones, I don't know who thought of this, but it's all about the price. So for every dollar movement of a stock in the Dow Jones Industrial Index, it's about $6 or $6.5, $7 for the index. Google moves up $1, it's $7. So the more expensive, the higher priced the actual stock is, what happens?
If it goes down a dollar, it's also $7.
Yeah. But the problem is, the higher price you get in there, the more potential fluctuation you have. So here's the deal that I thought was really interesting. This is going to move the technology weighting. I did a quick calculation on this, because you have to use the, not the market weight again, you have to use the dollar value. But it will move approximately the Dow Jones Industrial Average from about a 17% weighting in technology to about 22%. That's a meaningful move. So the S&P 500 is about, these days, 30% tech. NASDAQ, 50% or more.
Yeah, NASDAQ is just tech.
Just tech. And NASDAQ 100 is even more. But this is a pretty big move. This is obviously the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The folks that run that are concerned that nobody cares about it anymore, are thinking, you know what? We got to put more tech in there. And they put a lot of tech in there. We got Microsoft CRM, Apple's in there. NVIDIA's in there. Now we got Google in there.
That seems like enough.
I mean, if we keep on going this direction, this trend, it's only going to be tech that matters.
Yeah, and then when tech collapses, which it is cyclical.
Yep. Big problem.
The whole thing goes down. It would be exaggerated. It'll make things worse.
It will. Like what happened today. The Dow Jones was actually up today. Or no, I'm sorry. It was down slightly. I take it back. It's down slightly. And when you look at the level of tech that moved today, the 3% on the NASDAQ, and only 100 points or so on the Dow, you recognize they're doing these macro traders, these high-speed frequency traders, and these other, what would I call them?
Maniacs.
Yeah, well, the traders that are basket trading are just going back and forth every day. I would venture to say that it's possible Dow Jones will be down tomorrow and the NASDAQ will be up tomorrow. That's the kind of routine we're seeing. Just move back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Well, the NASDAQ was, yeah, not knocked down a little.
Yep.
But anyway.
So computer pricing. I did a little work on buying a computer, and I'm not going to mention any names, but I have some friends in the business, and they have very good access to various companies. And I was looking at a Dell, amongst others, but I was looking at a Dell for a desktop replacement. Mine's about 6 years old. Works well, but it could use a little bit of a refresh. So what was about $2,000 a year ago for a knockout, great, you know, real beast of a computer, as a desktop, that is now like $4,000 at least today. And Dell's not holding their price quotes very long, and even if they do, they're back ordered, so prices can go up after the order. They're pulling a thing where not only are they not holding the order to get you in within a few days, and I heard they're going to be a huge increase in prices July 2nd on the corporate side, on the business side. So I would think that because of these IPOs maybe putting all this money in the pockets of companies that now could spend freely, that they don't really care about the pricing of anything. By the way, I went from the corporate and I went to the Dell site itself. The corporate, listen to this, you're gonna fall over. The PC that I actually put together was $5,700 on the business side. That's crazy.
Sounds pretty powerful.
But I went to the Dell site, the Dell consumer site, built the same computer, minus, I will share with you, actually a better the Intel i9 versus the 7, and then the NVIDIA 2000 RTX versus the 1000, I think it was. And the only difference is I don't have as much memory, only 32 gigabyte in RAM, and I'm going to add another 1 terabyte SSD, but here's the thing. You add that up, it's about $500 for the extra parts. Hold that thought, right? $2,700 out the door on the consumer site. $5,700 on the corporate site.
That doesn't make sense.
There is a little bit more in here that I'm not going to go into, but I'm just telling you that there is a big differential in certain quadrants of the computer sales market. So my computer would be $3,100 versus, let's say, $5,500. The one I bought is $3,100 all in versus if you went and got it direct through large-scale order Dell, which are going to be raising their prices and not holding their prices. So something's a little bit off.
Something's off with all of it. I think that the main memory, you could probably load it up later when memory prices come down.
Right, exactly.
Which is the way you should be thinking about it. When will they come down?
Ah, there you go.
Well, no time. It doesn't look like they're going to come down anytime soon. They're going to come down, but not anytime soon. And the thing is, when they come down, this is going to be interesting to watch, especially for investors that are invested in Micron. It's not that they're going to reestablish the learning curve for memory is always that memory gets cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper over time, and instead of getting cheaper, it's getting more expensive. But it should be getting cheaper. So when it goes down, it's not going to go down to where it started. It's going to go down way below where it started because it should still be getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. So you have to kind of extrapolate how cheap it would be a year or two from now if things were normal, because that's where it's going to end up. And those companies that are banking on profits from high-priced memory are going to all be – I think there's going to break a couple of them.
It's possible. It's possible. I mean, do you think that they're going to overcapacity themselves and then flood the market?
Well, yeah, of course. That's what you always do. You make the mistake of, you know, building out. None of them will not do that. I mean, they'll get fired if they don't do it. Why aren't you building out? You know, you got all this demand. Well, we're at capacity, and we're doing the best we can. Well, double the size of the place.
Right. I guess so. No,
it's just the classic phenomenon. But memory should be getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And that's the point. And it will do that forever.
Yep. If you go down a bunch, there's RAM prices. Can you see that? You see that chart?
Yeah, I looked at it.
This is the actual price of a particular RAM that I was going to buy for this computer, right? Crucial 32-gigabyte DDR RAM, 2x16 gigabytes, the 5600 megahertz, right? And this goes back to October of 2025. Well, it goes back to July, but basically it was like, what, under 100, let's just say that?
Yeah, $75.
It's $450 now.
Yeah. Yeah, and what it should be now, it should be, if it was $75 then, it should be around $60.
Yep.
Based on the normal way memory acts. It's cheaper and cheaper. Yep. Yeah.
All right.
It's a funny phenomenon, but it's only a supply and demand phenomenon. It's not a technology phenomenon.
Right.
I mean, who knew?
Who knew? I see a note that just came out. Actually, an alert just came out. The Asian stocks are rebounding. Samsung is up 9%. So one-day scare once again. Is that what we're looking at? Maybe. One-day thing? The Kospi is up. Let's see what the Kospi is up. Kospi is up 3.7%. So we're seeing things go a little bit crazy. There was a 12% loss on SK Hynix yesterday. It gained 4%. So they're just buying in. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable what's going on. I mean, it was 10% yesterday, but 3% today. This rally, what's going on? And a lot of this is also due to the fact that they've issued an incredible amount of multiple based ETFs in the country. So for example, the Kospi 3X that's available in South Korea is up like 433% this year. It was down 33% overnight, taking your return down to 300, but still, right? But the interesting thing is that they're ravenous right now in Asia. They are buying, they are literally doing things that are nutso with leveraging all sorts of opportunities, credit cards, houses.
Yeah, well, this tells you something.
What does it tell me? Well, yes. No question about that. So this is what is going on. The question is, when does it stop, right? It's you want to play this like a musical chairs? Or do you want to just not play the game at all? And that's been a big concern for a lot of people.
Well, everybody likes musical chairs. I won't be the guy that gets stuck.
Right. Not me.
I can get in and get out.
Right. You forget that there's always somebody behind you pushing. That's the problem with the game, right? You think you have the capacity just to dunk it when you need to. But the truth is, so does the guy in front of you and behind you. Yeah, somebody's going to win, but it's one of three. But only one. Let's talk about SpaceX again. They did, you mentioned they bought Cursor. They were toying around this for a while. They signed a $6.3 billion computing power agreement with Reflection AI. And the terms are that Reflection AI agreed to pay SpaceX $150 million per month from July 2026 to the end of 2029. So they're going to be able to tap into the hardware on the GB300 chips housed at SpaceX's Colossus 2 data center in Memphis, Tennessee. So that's the deal there. So a lot of things going on where money coming in. So pretty exciting things that are happening there. But what's really fascinating, you'll notice, is that a lot of things come post IPO. This could have been a month ago, and it's probably sitting there in the backlog so they can sell this deal, and then they announce it after the fact. Maybe. Now, what do you think is going on there? I mean, this is smart. Smart doing this kind of stuff. Cursor is a...
You know, it's just beyond me. At this point, mainly because everything... It was spooked me. I'll tell you what spooked me. So yeah. I can't... I'm just kind of beside myself. Because I like to look at insider trading.
Yeah.
And there are different kinds of ways you go. There's different sites and places you can go. But one of the places I go is shows all the top insider trading recent week. And there's another one that has a list. And this is, we're talking about a long list. This is a list of everybody. And then there's a list of the top 10% owners, insider trading, recent week. And it's probably, I'm on that, it's probably, I don't know, about 50 people or whatever. Everything is red.
Oh.
There's not one insider that's not selling.
Really?
I mean, once in a while, there's one buy for a company that just came out recently, an IPO called Cantor Equity Partners. It's just it's an investment group. Everything else is red. They're selling, I can just go through them, Walmart, Waterbridge.
This is Cantor?
What?
This is Cantor. C-A-N-T-O-R?
Yeah. Patton Group. I mean, this is alphabetical. Arcadian Assets Management. Short. Sold. Ingram Micro. Oh, that's interesting. Holding company. Acadian. It's one after the other. And there's just a sea of red. So, and I look at my picks recently, and they're all down. It's just very spooky.
Well, just to let you know, who is involved in Cantor right now? Do you know anything about that firm?
I know. All I know is it's on this list.
But Cantor, you're telling me, has this huge amount of sales.
Well, no, it has a buy. That's the only one with a buy.
So, what were you saying about Cantor? I thought they're the ones selling.
No. I was saying everybody's selling except Cantor.
Cantor's
I'm looking down this list. It's all red except for Cantor.
Oh, Cantor is Lutnick.
It's what?
Howard Lutnick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he joined the firm in 83. Was named CEO by Bernie Cantor in 96. He led the company for decades before stepping down in 2025 to become the U.S. Secretary of Commerce.
C-A-E-S.
Yeah, Cantor Fitzgerald.
Huh. Yeah, well, anyway, that's the only one that's in the blue. And everything else is being sold. It's just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Go, baby, go.
It's like everyone's bailing out. And it's so I can't, you know, I can't take it too seriously when the Korean stock market rebounds. It's like, or this is it a bull trap?
Well, these days it's been buy the dip, chips and dip. Yeah. I call it chips and dip. That's what's feeding everybody, chips and dip. So everybody is so well trained. The Pavlovian response to this whole thing is just to simply buy. You just let it go for the day, and then you buy the next day or at the close because you know the next day it's going to pop up. That's why a lot of times towards the end of the day on down days, the close usually get better. Today, it was down. It was down about another 20 basis points into the close where usually you'd see that turnaround going on the upside because everybody's all excited about the next day what they're going to get. But that's what the market we're in right now. There seems to be an unlimited amount of money that's chasing stocks. The FOMO is unbelievable. The idea that why we just saw that chart
it's definitely an opportunity to get out at the highs.
Yeah, there's two sides of this discussion, right? There's people that are clearly selling and there's opportunities to get out thinking that, you know what, we made the money that was there to make, whether it's the easy money or the money that's the totality of what it's going to be. Or people are thinking, you know what, it's not going to end. bull market doesn't die of old age. You know, something has to happen. Nothing's happening. The war is over. You know, we have...
Well, is it?
Well, I don't know. Is vandalism at the reflecting pool? Was there? Did you see that, by the way? The commentary that this is going to be the best material ever put down. You couldn't do anything. Even if you tried to cut it with a knife, you wouldn't be able to get through.
Yeah, so they had some guys cut it with a knife. And then the other thing is somebody obviously dumped in some phosphate fertilizer or something. It doesn't take much to do with this. You get some liquid, you dump it in there. It's got a lot of phosphorus and algae bloom, boom, instantly.
Yeah. I'm not buying that somebody cut this thing with a knife, by the way.
They showed it.
300 feet they cut?
I don't know. Yeah, the whole thing is fishy.
The whole thing is bizarre. It's bizarre.
Meanwhile, that $14 million that went into that pales by comparison to what the $144 million spent on a bridge across the freeway in California that's called the Wildlife Bridge that they've never managed to complete.
Crazy.
It's basically an overpass for animals.
And why they can't complete it is just not even fathomable.
No, it should have been completed a couple of years ago. I mean, when they started, it should have been completed.
Well, back to what we said, government contracts.
Kind of sitting there.
Government contracts, that's the play. That's what we should be doing.
And nobody bitches about that, but they're bitching about this stupid pool.
The reflecting pond. The controversy. Let's talk about missed opportunities, can we, for a second? For years and years and years, there are a few things that I have been repeating that I can't. Mattress companies. You remember my whole thing of mattress companies? I don't understand these guys.
That and Crocs.
Yeah, but mattress companies. And I turned around on Crocs, and actually I'm a buyer, and I like them now. But mattress companies, for years I've been like, look, the problem with these companies is that they're selling overpriced products on credit to people that can't afford them. And nobody cares if... your mattress is theoretically going to get repossessed. Have you ever heard that? You've seen that, you know, hey, a mattress giant is gone with the creditors and they're going to be repossessing 1,000 mattresses from deadbeat customers. Doesn't happen.
Yeah, this is one of your things, yeah.
So for years, I looked at these companies and some of them started getting picked up. They merged. You had Mattress Firm. I think it was FIRM was the thing, Sleep Number. And there was a bunch of these mattress companies that every time I got near them to short them, something would go on. They'd be bought up, rolled up. They'd be taken over by private equity. Some kind of rumor would happen. Look at this chart. This is what we call a swing and a miss. Look at that chart. Is that nauseating?
What is it?
That's Sleep Number. You see it?
See, yeah,
that's the Sleep Number stock for the Sleep Number bed, SNBR.
You're kidding. Wow. are you telling me these guys shot up to $140 a share and now selling for 12 cents?
I think they're even less. I think they had a bad day today. Let's see. SNBR.
How do we miss that short?
Let's see. I know. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's see. SNBR closed at 10 cents. It's down another 13% today.
Wow.
How do you like that?
That's a beauty.
Ugh, I'm so aggravated. So aggravated. It's down 37% yesterday. Down. Now, again, this goes right into John's thesis. It may be 20 cents, but it always go to 10, and that's a 50%
gain. Doubler, yeah.
But $140 bucks. Now,
that's
the question.
As good as going from 140 to 70.
So, yeah, a question is, at 12 cents now, or 10 cents, who's holding the short? I mean, come on. It's enough already, right? It's enough. This is like wave the white, put up the white flag, count to 10, you're out. You're done. This is where the shorts can get a hold of this thing and squeeze the crap out of it. Not that they will, but I'm saying
maybe
that's what...
Maybe it goes to a nickel. Or they're expecting it to go broke, maybe. I don't know.
It could also go to 50 cents really easily, and that would be a huge win. I'm not suggesting that. I'm not suggesting that. But it started going down. It went, look, after 2020 COVID, everybody was seemingly buying mattresses, I guess, with all the money they got.
Oh, Maybe.
Maybe.
Well, it definitely peaked during COVID. I mean, it skyrocketed from probably looks like April of 2020 to 2021. Skyrocketed.
$40 to 140 wasn't a month. There was not a month that it wasn't positive for. I'm going to count this. Give me a moment. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 12 months straight.
12, yep.
That was 12 months down, I think, on the other side. But interesting to also look at this, the relative movement that you see of these things, you think it's never going to go down. We could kind of overlay a variety of things on here, like, for example, MU, which is coming out with earnings, I think, this week, or other AI-related stocks. But the
I know. I look at MU and think of, I'm thinking it. It just looks like it's going to be a good short one of these days. But if, like, for example, with this stock, when it starts to decline, you could have picked it up at 100, at 80. You could have picked it up at 60. You could have picked it up at 40. You could, just could have picked it up anywhere you wanted.
Yeah, at 40, you're like, how much lower can it go, though?
Yeah, at 40, it'd probably be, well, I think it's bottomed out.
Yeah.
Because it kind of started at 40.
And clearly at 20, because when you cross all the way across that 20 line, right?
Yeah, at $20, you wouldn't be thinking about it. But 20 to 12 cents, that's a big deal.
Huge. A dollar to 12 cents is pretty big.
Yeah.
So, again, swing and a miss. Swing and a miss. And the reason I think that, you know, sometimes you don't want to do that is because maybe like things like this happened. Shares of Getty Images Holdings soared as much as 145% on Monday after it announced a licensing deal with OpenAI. They said the images from its library will appear in the searches and discovery features of ChatGPT, whatever the hell that means, making a key reversal for the firm. The partnership with OpenAI can improve licensing optics, whatever that means, and shift the narrative of the stock.
We're starting to hear Silicon Valley buzzwords.
Yeah. We have to talk about TAM. That's a big one. Anybody starts mentioning TAM, I go the other direction. That's our TAM, the total addressable market. Oh, really?
Oh, TAM. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's a big one. Or, you know, ROI. That, you know, you start talking ROI. Not ROE or anything like that. ROI is always one of the words that they use over in Silicon Valley. So, but Getty shares were up at the close about 118%. Stock had fallen about 55% this year to close at 61 cents on Thursday before the Juneteenth holiday weekend began. There you go. Now over to Korea. We've been talking about the chip companies. There's a new number one. SK Hynix surpassed Samsung Electronics on Monday to be the country's most valuable listed company. Probably switching around right now, though, as it's up 9%. A remarkable turnaround, by the way, because this chip maker almost collapsed under its heavy debt load about 20 years ago. So
I remember that. They used to have an operation. One of their offices was in Fremont.
This right here, this particular story, this issue is a testament to John's commentary about the cycles. I don't think we'd debate the fact that I would say that in all my years, probably aside from oil and energy, but semiconductors have been the most cyclical of all the sectors that are out there.
I agree. And then there's also cycles with hard disks too.
Yeah. And that's another.
That's almost a yearly cycle.
Have you seen the SanDisk in Western Digital? Holy moly.
I don't want it. It makes me sick.
Oof, those stocks are up. Up, up, up. Yeah, let's see what Western Digital was today. I think Western Digital was down pretty good today, about 9%. 8.45%. SanDisk down 13.6%. Pretty crazy stuff. All right, moving along, sir. So the big issue, I think, with what happened overnight, people are looking for a reason. Why did it happen? What's the news? I just think that there was a big question about if the AI spend boom is producing fast enough results. One of the big things, Sanjay Nadella from Microsoft was saying, you know, hey, there's some questions about this.
Yeah, he was talking too much today.
And I think that's caused some of the problems. I mean, for the day, for one day. What is that?
I was clicking the screen and you went on something that started a video.
Oh.
Sorry.
So we had somebody talk about an imminent collapse potentially in the global economic system. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
Imminent collapse.
I don't think imminent's probably true, but it's definitely hello.
President Trump, you wouldn't think, he's always talking about the good stuff. Now all of a sudden we have the potential for an imminent collapse, which is the reason why he decided to sign an interim peace deal with Iran. By the way, treating them like a bully would treat a little kid at school. Hey, did you bring your lunch in? Yeah, good. We'll be best friends. But if you don't do it tomorrow, I'm going to kick your ass.
So we're the bully?
I don't know. I think at the moment, they're the connivers.
Definitely connivers.
Yeah, they're connivers.
That's a good word.
Yeah, they're connivers. And whatever we say, it seems like they're also attempting, or at least they're, you can see the writing here, that they're doing their best. Let's put it that way. They're doing their best to try to make Trump look stupid. Like he said, Trump said, you know, we signed it, or we talked about that they're going to allow nuclear
inspectors
to come in 100%, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, no, we didn't. No, we didn't. So it's a weird game that's going on right now. And I think the point is to sow this disbelief, which both sides can do pretty well. So according to sources, the deal has reopened the Straits of Hormuz, this 14-point MOU that I read from top to bottom. Not very complicated, one page really. We're going to be waiving sanctions on Iran's oils. Oil is down near, 74 or something? Let's do the old oil check, why don't we? 73. WTI is trading at 73. NASDAQ futures, by the way, are up 0.5% right now. S&P futures up about 16 basis points. Gold is marginally down to 4,000. All those people that wanted to wait for it to go to 8,000, remember that whole thing? Oh, gold is going. Gold is going forever. Nope.
Well, it hit 5,000 and crapped out.
Yeah, it did. Hit the wall. So a lot of big question about this MOU. Markets are happy about it. Theoretically, there's action going through the Straits of Hormuz. And they even talked about recently that there's some boats that are escaping somehow without anybody seeing them. I don't know how that's possible, but okay. We'll go with it.
What they do, they turn off the transponder.
Right, the AIS.
Turn off their running lights and zoom through at 2 in the morning.
Right. That's the theory. So if that's happening, I guess that's good.
If it's happening or not. It could be bull crap.
Yeah, who knows. But point is, that's the general belief, and that's what we have to go on. I've always said this. You've heard me say this. That we cannot believe most of the data that comes out of China. Right? But we have to believe it. See, if we don't believe it, we have nothing to go on. So that's the only thing we could really hold on to, because the masses believe it. So we don't want to outsmart ourselves and go in saying, well, that's not true. Usually you see the guys that do that lose big time. Same thing here. What they say, we go along with. Until such time as the emperor's clothes are removed, or something else comes in and fully discredits it, or somebody changes their mind and says something different. Now, China's having a big problem right now. Just going back to China from Iran, we obviously knew that the Iran situation was a problem. We know the pressure that we're putting on them has been a big problem. Weak economic conditions. The 8 shares are about to enter a bear market. As a matter of fact, over last night they did. That's the Hong Kong shares, the Hang Seng. Dragged on by weak domestic consumption, a struggling property sector. There's nothing to do. And an exodus from the funds that are fleeing old technology for AI plays elsewhere in Asia and around the world. old technology would be the equivalent of Salesforce, of Workday, of Adobe, of Netflix. Oddly enough, the A shares listed in mainland China, the Shanghai Shenzhen, which are primarily targeted for domestic investors, doing very well. Very well. Now, retail sales declined for the first time since December 2022, dropping 0.6% from a year earlier. There's definitely some domestic consumption issues going on in China. Their urban fixed investment, the asset investment, contracted 4.1% at the end of May, dragged down by real estate and manufacturing. The manufacturing fixed asset investment contracted for the first time since 2020. I always look at China as the canary in the coal mine. Both sides. I'm not exactly sure why it is, although maybe because they have a heavy hand at regulating their monetary policy from the government side versus, they could, for a big country that they are, they could put in policies very quickly because I guess they have a dictator, right?
Yes, it helps.
I mean, that does help. And for whatever reason over the years, even back to 2008, they entered in first, they came out first. And there's about a six-month lag that I found. Now, that's not scientific, but that's just an approximation of the period. So if that's the case, there is the potential that the U.S. will start seeing similar kind of problems. Let's give it a date. Let's date stamp it.
6 months.
Yeah, October, November. Ish.
October is always a good month.
Yeah, good point. Well, then you have midterms, right? When are midterms? November.
Well, you say you want to keep things propped up.
Until then.
For the midterms.
Yeah, so timing works out.
So you go out of your way to do that, so then the collapse would take place after the midterms.
Yeah, so then we're right on schedule 6 months.
Then they get blamed to Democrats because the Democrats will win the midterms. And
perfect.
Crap out. Hey, these damn Democrats have ruined it for perfect. Everybody. We were doing fine before they showed up.
Yeah.
That works.
Can we go back to Mahjong for a minute?
Ugh.
You know what? We won't. We'll skip it.
Oy.
Oy vey. Supposedly, many people have become addicted to this. Many users on community forums like Reddit agree that the physical weight, texture, and distinct clicking sound of shuffling tiles provided soothing sensory satisfaction. Have you spent any time watching any of these tactile sensory videos that people put out?
No.
Oh, I don't think I could even try to imitate. Let me see if I can do something here. They'd be like, and they do it with their fingernails and scratch their face and make. Listen to my listen. Oh my God! It's like this thing. I don't.
You got an algo that's on your ass.
I don't know what it is, but it's very annoying. It's these people that make these noises as they talk to supposedly create this sensory something or other. It pisses me off and annoys me. So if that's what their intent was, it works. I gotta get off it anyway. In Yelp named Chinese tile game a top trend of 2026, noting that searches for Mahjong clubs surged 4,400% year over year for the period from September 24 to August 25, and the searches for Mahjong lessons rose 819%. I went to a Mahjong store with the wife.
The wife?
The wife.
Okay.
And, well, Adam Curry's got the keeper, I got the wife.
And you went to a Mahjong store?
I did. Do you think Adam went to a Mahjong store with Tina?
I don't know there was any such thing as a Mahjong store.
Yeah, they take some kind of crappy Hallmark store that's selling those ridiculous shelf dogs. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
The little ceramic dogs that people like to have during Christmas on their shelves. Like a Hallmark store. They got pendants. They got junk. And they're not making any money. And they put a Mahjong sign outside. They cut the store in half. And they put all sorts of Mahjong junk. I love Mahjong shirts. Call me Mahjong Mary. You know, whatever. Whatever these things are. Right? They have Mahjong earrings. There's tabletops for Mahjong. Like $75. Oh, look at...
It's like
darling.
You're talking to a foreigner.
Oh, yeah. I'm edumacating you.
Wow.
The Mahjong's something. They get crazy. There's Mahjong days and nights and tournaments and things. And then it's, you know, one bam, two crack. I got south, I got wind, I got north. And then they play and they play and they play. And some of these things that they have, for example, I was recently in Bimini. Guess what? They brought a floatable, floating Mahjong table to play in the pool.
In Bimini.
Uh-huh. Not kidding. Not kidding. It's a scourge.
Well, it sounds like it from your perspective.
It's a problem. It's a problem. Like, honey, where are you? Playing Mahjong. With who? There's nobody here on the computer. Really? Seriously? Yeah, that's what's happening. All right, let's talk about Alphabet. Slid 7% today on track for the search engine's worst day in a year. That was yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was yesterday.
Yeah, they lost more money in one day than their entire history.
You know, from the top to the bottom, SpaceX was down $600 billion market cap.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a small country.
Yeah.
That's reckless.
But it's just on paper.
Oh, yeah. You don't lose until you sell. Don't worry about what your account value says. You don't lose till you sell. You can be down at zero. Yeah, fine. You don't lose anything until you sell. So this is a big thing because Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella, we talked about this earlier, called for less dependence on AI giants and said the AI market was commoditized. Huh. Why do you think he would say such a thing?
Because they're not making out in it?
I don't know. It's very strange. Very strange taking jabs at a company. That's I don't know. Crazy. Back to Oracle. Yeah, what are you going to say?
It's not normal that CEOs of tech companies say anything like that.
Well,
has to be some sort of scheme.
Oh, you think there's something going on?
Well, it has to be.
It's not just that everybody feels that they can talk whenever they want about anything, no matter what?
They never do.
I don't
know. Not in tech. They're very, you know, it's like... I remember I was a writer at InfoWorld, editor actually, and I was trying to get some guy just to say something. I needed this quote, and I had the quote ready for him. He says, "What's in it for me?"
Mm.
I'm not saying anything. He said, CEO, famous company. I'm not saying anything if there's no benefit to me, immediate benefit. It's just dumb.
Well, I hear you. So you're thinking that this is some kind of scam for something. Maybe lowering prices on the stocks, they could buy more.
I don't know.
Oracle is reducing its workforce by 21,000 employees over the past 12 months. Global headcount fell to 141 from 162. Generated $1.8 billion in restructuring costs. They also warned that AI deployment may continue resulting in workforce reductions. NVIDIA is underperforming. Share slipped recently despite remaining up about 12% in 2026. Stocks down about 3% the past month, underperforming the semiconductor peers. The second semiconductor index is up 84% year to date, gained 15% last month when NVIDIA is like not even up. So they're.
Yeah, I don't know.
Micron, SanDisk, the big ones. Shares jumping about 60% over the past month.
NVIDIA, all NVIDIA has to do is do a test market with the following announcement.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new memory technology.
Oh. And then...
the thing would skyrocket.
What would, and you'd also see a corresponding drop for like Micron and those guys.
Yeah. It'd be hilarious.
What are the...
all you have to do is just say...